Viva la vegan! Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from vivalavegan.net, and with me today is Derek Goodwin. How are you, Derek?
I'm pretty good. I like your sound.
Thank you very much. A good little
I
intro to start off.
wish you should have taught it to me so I could have hummed it with you.
Oh, yeah, we should have done that. We can duet
We'll
it next time.
the
Yeah, okay. How are
outro.
you tonight in your world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a rainy night in New York City,
What time is it over
April
there?
30th. It's 11:30 p.m.
And I'm Thursday and I'm about 1:30 p.m.
Oh, really?
So we're in the future. All is good.
Wow. Australia is so ahead of us here, you
Exactly.
know.
And how are you today? What do you've just been teaching a yoga session. How did that go?
It went really well, you know. My Wednesday night class is my favorite one. There's usually like 15 or 20 people, and tonight I taught a story about Shiva, the Hindu god of destruction, and churning milk. The story in the story, he's churning milk, but in my story, I changed it all to hemp milk because I'm a yoga teacher and I have those powers.
Why not?
So that's why. So no cows were harmed. It was all just hemp seeds.
Good to hear. And how did
Yeah,
you get into yoga in the beginning? Can you explain a bit of your yoga evolution?
well, my yoga and my veganism are tied together. Back in 1994, I was going to college and I was taking photography, and there was a summer Southwest trip where we could. It was basically a 30 days in the desert Southwest, just traveling, taking pictures, and having fun. Maybe it was only 2 weeks. For some reason, my mind says 30 days, but anyway.
Sounds good either
So,
way.
one of my photography teachers happened to be a Kundalini yoga teacher, and so he would teach us yoga. Really, we had a Kundalini. They're really attached to like the different times of day and stuff. So we would be getting up before the sunrise and doing yoga as the sun came up, and it was really beautiful. And and then that year was also the on that trip when I decided to become a vegetarian because I'd already given up chicken and fish and red meat. So, well, no, I hadn't given up fish. Fish was the last thing I ate. And so, but on that trip, I met some of my fellow students that were vegetarian, and then I realized, wow, there's this thing called vegetarian I could be.
So you didn't know about the term before, like you
Well,
weren't eating
I'm
it?
sure I'd heard of it, but I'd never like met somebody who was vegetarian, and so that was kind of like a aha, because I kind of was just telling myself that it was all for health reasons, but and deeper inside, I have you know I think I knew what was happening to the animals and I didn't like it. Yeah,
And then what happens with your yoga after that?
the yoga kind of dropped for at least probably 10 years, and didn't do it again, or you know I might have taken a class or two here or there, but didn't really kick in again until probably around 2004 or 2005. I started actually doing some Bikram hot yoga classes. That was the gateway yoga for me. But the vegetarianism stuck, and I became vegan like a year and a half after that. And so that was and but now looking back, I see that these things came. And you know, I feel like veganism is in ways a spiritual path. You know, some vegans are very anti-theistic or atheistic maybe, but
Yes, I know a lot of them.
yeah. And you know, I wouldn't I get I you know, spirituality I think is a very personal thing, and I don't believe, you know, a lot of the atheist argument is about the monotheistic religions of the West, a real strong reaction to those. with yoga, I find that the philosophy of yoga is more open to the scientific worldview. You know, it doesn't really contradict itself that much in most places,
mm-hmm.
but you still believe in that, like, you know, yoga and union, that the whole universe is interconnected, and that love is omnipresent, and that there's, you know, there's something greater than just our own limited self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea too. I say I'm a spiritual person rather than a religious person.
Yeah, spiritual but not religious. That's what, that's the OkCupid category.
Oh, is that? You would know that, Derek. And so how does one become interested in yoga and then teach it? What was the process with that? Was that a long one?
So I was just doing like the hot yoga and off and on for a few years. You know, I would do it for a few months and then take a few months without doing it. And then in 2009, I went through this crazy relationship breakup and moved down to New Orleans and encountered Jiva Mukti Yoga down there, which is the style that I study and teach. Jiva Mukti, well, for one thing, it has the veganism, the ahimsa idea of nonviolence is intrinsic to Jiva Mukti Yoga. So
that's good.
And to yoga, I mean, if you read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which is a lot of what people base their yoga practice on, it very strong. Ahimsa is the first part of the Eightfold Path, and it's like very, very strongly rooted in there. And some people can say, well, that's just being kind to yourself, not, it doesn't mean everything else, but that's a very like egotistic reading of it. So, you know, it's pretty prevalent throughout the teachings that compassion is a way to realize unity, you know, to try to love everything, and then you will kind of realize that you are this part of everything and not separate from it, or that you should be angry and fighting with it all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Good way to live, I think.
Need a good way to live. Not much there.
And you also, one of your other passions is photography, and you do quite a lot. You do yoga photography, animal photography, wedding photography. How did you get into photography?
I started liking when I was a little kid. Do you remember the 110 cameras, 110 film? Do you know what that is?
No. What is it?
I don't. Well, it's this tiny film, you know, like a 35 millimeter film's 2 inches wide, or what, the 110 film's probably like, I don't know if it's 110 millimeters. I don't know what the 110 stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Probably millimeters. But yeah, Mr. Photography, I don't know what the film stands for. But anyway, so it was when I was a kid, they had these little cameras, and I started taking pictures with that, and I just was kind of fascinated. We lived near an Air Force base, and there was these airplane shows that went overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I took some pictures of that, mm-hmm. and I was so impressed with how good they came out. I think I just became more fascinated with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to school for it, and eventually, and that's interesting because that, you know, photography, veganism, and yoga were all tied together in that trip I was telling you about in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah.
That was like the beginning of all these things being tied together in my life.
You can normally pick some sort of point in your life, can't you? Or a couple of points where everything moves forward from, or you have some sort of realization.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I was talking about that in my yoga class today. Mm. Well, more like the traumatic parts of your life, or the parts that you can look back and see that's where the biggest changes happen, you know?
Definitely.
I guess then wasn't a traumatic part of my life. It was actually a pretty sweet part, but it was just like this going to school and
learning,
getting out of the meeting other people than the people I had met, just living in Syracuse, my hometown,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a conservative place.
Oh, okay. Yep. And so what are your favorite things to take photos of?
Pretty girls. No.
Not a surprise.
Well, I like taking pictures of people in general. So, like landscapes, I don't enjoy landscapes as much unless there's a person or and people, I also mean animal people.
Mm-hmm. Excuse the phone.
So I do a lot of, uh-oh.
Mm-mm. Yep. I'm not getting it.
Ignore that noise. So there's, you know, I take pictures of farm animals, and those are people too.
Mm.
So living beings, farm animals, and people are my main subjects.
And what about vegan weddings? How many of them have you done?
Vegan weddings. I don't know. I don't have a count. Probably at least 20 or so.
Wow.
But I've got, do I have one this year? Yeah, I think I got at least one more coming up this year.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of cut way back on my wedding photography business. Actually, right now I'm trying to, you know, so there's all these three, there's the veganism, the photography, and the yoga, and just trying to, I have so many websites and different things going on. I'm trying to, this year my goal is to merge things into one cohesive unit, so mm-hmm. I only have one thing to worry about instead of five.
That's a good idea. How's it working so far?
Well, so far it's mostly in my mind. I started building a website, you know, that's got my yoga. I'm going to really focus on the yoga photography now as a way of supporting myself.
Yep.
And teaching yoga. So merging those two things together onto one website, and then there'll be a section about veganism and
mm-hmm.
probably about some of the vegan things I do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And one of the other things you do is your podcast, veganradio.com.
Okay.
And you interviewed me as part of your Dating Vegans podcast around Valentine's Day, wasn't it? So February.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that since 2000. Pardon?
I've been pining away for you ever since.
Thanks, Derek. And you've been doing that since 2005, which is when I started Viva La Vegan too. There wouldn't have been many podcasts then, would there?
I don't think so. I remember the Vegan Freaks was like the big
mm-hmm.
popular vegan one, and there was a couple other ones.
Was Bob Linden doing his then? He probably might have.
Yep. Yeah, the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he had an actual radio show, right?
Mm.
On there. Well, vegan radio was on the air too when we started. So.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you do the podcast now?
Now about once a year.
Oh really?
I was trying to get it going again, but it's been kind of. You know, if I have a co-host, it helps motivate me, but my co-host kind of disappeared on me, so
mm-hmm.
now I'm just, I'm trying to, as part of merging my life, I'm trying to decide whether to keep that going or to retire it or maybe to transform it into something else, you know.
Mm.
I like doing the podcast and I still have things to say, but maybe I want to go beyond the scope of just veganism.
Yeah.
You know, veganism is always my core value. I'm not going to not be vegan, but talk about yoga and evolution and science and all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess 9 years is a good time.
Has it been 9 years? Holy shit.
Well, yeah, 9 years, definitely. So that's maybe a good time to take stock, isn't it?
Take stock, yes.
Yeah.
Are you taking stock?
Am I? Yeah, I have been actually with a lot of the things that I'm involved with too. So I guess it's similar sort of thing with you. It's like, because I traveled a lot the past couple of years, and it's just working out what works, what doesn't, what I like doing, what I don't like doing, and what I can, I'm quite okay to move away from, I guess.
Yeah, quite okay.
Yeah, quite okay to move away from.
So when we're up here, we call you, we say that you guys are down under. Do you like say that we're up and over?
No, we don't. Sorry, we don't have
No.
anything like that for you.
Oh, well, you could start something.
Just like, yeah, it would just be like in the US or in the States. That would be it. I don't know what how else you could describe it.
So we don't seem like we're up
No, not at
and
all.
over.
So,
Oh,
what have you got planned for the rest of the year with your all your
the rest of
interests?
the well, yeah, so I gotta get this website going. I want to start photographing yoga festivals, and I still got this vegan boss I'm trying to figure out what to do with, you know. So I own a full size school bus.
So what was the plan with that originally?
Well, we used it to go around and promote veganism. That takes a whole team to run, you know. And yeah, it's been sitting for a couple of years, and so I think about that a lot. I go back and forth from, you know, it would take all my energy to really do it upright. So I don't know if I have that leeway right now in my life to dedicate that much energy to that project. But I wouldn't say it's going to be gone forever. You know, I might get another bus in a couple of years when I.
You could do like a yoga vegan photography tour or something.
Yeah. No, it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just
You know.
follow all the yoga festivals around to do photography, and then probably all the vegan festivals would be around after that, all the animal rights stuff. And
Yeah.
I'm sure there's photography events as well.
Photography
Is there? I
event.
don't know. Like
Yeah.
conferences or something?
Yeah, they do have those. I don't really go to them. That's
No.
probably why. I've been to a couple in my career, but
And then you could do podcasts every week at the different places you go to. I've worked it all
yeah.
out, Derek.
No, I mean that was the plan, was the bus was going to be kind of a traveling media show that would entertain and record, and so it's I don't know. I'm so back and forth. It's just something that I haven't quite resolved yet, so.
So when you were doing all the podcasts, what sort of why did you start that originally? Why did you decide to start vegan radio?
Well, vegan radio, I had back in 2000, I was just working as a web designer, and I bought some domain names. I bought veganradio.com because I was thinking back then, you know, there was like internet radio stations, which was kind of just, I guess there probably still are, but they just would play music or talk or whatever nonstop. So I was thinking that vegan radio would just be like that. Just put a bunch of files in a server somewhere and have them loop. But in 2005 or 2004, somewhere around there, this nonprofit started in Northampton, Massachusetts, where I live, to start a low power FM radio station. They got a license. And so they started that, and it was, you know, open to the public to
Oh, cool.
do shows there. So I went and got trained how to run the equipment and got a time slot. We did it up once every other week. And you know, it probably only broadcast for about 30 miles. so it wasn't getting a, you know, there's, I think there's the population of Northampton, it's 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there might have been like 50,000 or 60,000 potential people
mm-hmm.
hear it live, but then we recorded it, and that was when podcasting was just getting to be a thing, and so we recorded it and made it into a podcast, and
cool.
that made, and it was a fun learning process, you know.
Mm.
We were really stiff at the beginning and scripting everything, and we interviewed Howard Lyman.
Yeah, cool.
He was our first guest, and it was like,
oh wow,
really hot and sweaty in the studio and very uncomfortable, and we were just like, had questions written on a piece of paper, like da 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 da. And so, and then, but as we went on, it just became this loose kind of thing where we were joking around and calling people to interview them and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
And
but the station was very, all the equipment, because it was such a low budget thing, all the equipment was old and used and kind of wacky, and so we were always having technical difficulties. And it was a trip. We lost a couple of shows, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you would have, yeah. And now it's so much easier and cheaper to do all that sort of stuff and have all the different things you need, like the microphones and the computers and editing programs. What sort of programs do you use now?
Now? Oh, man, you're probably laughing at me. I'm pretty basic. I just have GarageBand on my Mac.
Yeah.
And I use Skype to do interviews, and I have a bunch of audio equipment, but typically I just use my, I have a little digital recorder I bought about, I guess, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I first started doing this, and it's not in such good shape anymore.
So you just record on that audio and then edit it in GarageBand?
Vegan Radio, we do a lot of like interviews in face-to-face, you know, in random places, vegetarian festivals, things. So that was nice and easy. I could bring it and interview people, and it would, even in like a really noisy place, if you've had the mic in front of their mouth, it would pick up and kind of, and I kind of like that when there's like some stuff going on in the background that that's the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for the most of the show, I use that as like the traveling microphone, and then we'd had the radio station as our equipment, you know. But when I started doing it on my own, I just bought a little USB mic. I forget what, I don't have any of the names of that stuff in my head right now, so.
I just got a new mic, Snowflake, have you heard of those? The blue brand?
Like, yeah.
I just got one of those, and I use Call Recorder for my Mac as well. So Call Recorder, when, like when we finish, for example, I can just create it to be ready to go online, like to go to YouTube with the video and the audio, and then
you
can actually create it as an MP3 as well, so then that'll go onto the podcast. It's just so easy.
Damn, girl.
And then I had, I did another podcast yesterday with a guy called Stuart, and we had, something happened, just cut out halfway through, and then I used my iMovie on the Mac to join the two parts together. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got iMovie and Final Cut, so I can probably do that.
Yeah, you'd be able to do that too.
Video, it's a new frontier, right? See, I should have bought veganvideo.com too.
I wonder if that's available.
Might be.
Yeah, definitely all the video stuff. It's really, I think that's the place to be at the moment, really. Like, YouTube, Vimeo, anything like that.
I'll have to get a makeup artist to so I can look my best.
Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, I want to get all done up nice.
And
and a shave.
What are your favorite topics that you like to speak to people about when you interview them or you do podcasts? Or
my favorite topics. You know, I'm kind of the joker of, you know, there's three of us, and I'm kind of the one who jokes around the most. So I always try to ask questions that kind of like knock people out of their like rhythm of what they normally talk about. Because most people that you interview have their answers, you know.
Yep.
Or like a lot of the vegan world, the leaders of the vegan movement have all their like talking points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get people to go outside of that a little bit, it's favorite questions. Well, yeah, it's always fun to learn. Like how did you go vegan is always a good one. And then I don't really. No, I just kind of improvise every time. I'm sure there's probably things that I ask a lot.
Yeah, if you looked back, there's probably like a couple that you say all the time to people or you ask all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. And what about, did you have any favorite people you spoke to?
Well, any you were my all-time favorite, but after that...
Thank you, Derek.
Well, you know, I got Paul Watson on a show once. I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He happened to be at Farm Sanctuary Hoedown. It was a speaker, and they have these bed and breakfast cabins outside that he was staying in, and mm-hmm. it was me and him and some. Well, I guess I didn't interview him. But I was hanging out with him one night on the porch with some of the other people and Sea Shepherd and couple of his friends, and it was just like a really sweet moment. Like, I can't believe I'm hanging out on the porch drinking beers with Paul Watson.
Yeah, that's good. He'd be good to interview.
Yeah, and he's very interesting. The interview, I was kind of nervous and asked a couple of questions that in retrospect I sounded a little weird, but he was one of the ones I actually should have written down some questions.
Be prepared.
My normal technique. I think just because I was a little like, he's so like on it, you know, and just like powerful and smart and him, definitely.
Cool.
I'm trying to think as well. Mm. There's so many people over the years, you know. Sarah Kramer was one of our regulars. And Robert Cheek.
He's always great, yeah.
Yeah, I had him on about 3 or 4 shows. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun, you know. Mm. Like, you get to meet people and know them and a little better.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have any favorites besides me?
Besides you, Derek, I haven't been doing too many interviews so far with the podcast, but I find with my video interviews I do with people, like one-on-one in person, I find anyone that you just get on really well with, like it's easy to converse, it's just like you've been friends for years or something, and you can just bounce off of each other. I find that's always good.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, some people, like you were saying, the people that have their specific answers to specific questions, and then there's other people that you can tell they're just, you know, speaking from the heart, and they're always better, I find.
Yeah, always better. Always better. You're so proper.
And then I guess the people I've sort of known for years online that I hadn't met in person before, and when you get to meet them and you do an interview with them, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been really blessed to have met so many cool people over my... You know, that was another reason I thought the radio show would be good, just because of my photography. I got in with Farm Sanctuary, and and then that got me into, like, the animal rights movement, where I got to meet a lot of people and photograph a lot of people, and so I had a lot of... a good network of... Mm. people to interview, and that worked out.
And Derek's in New York in the United States of America. So New York's like the vegan mecca, really, isn't it?
I guess as far as restaurants, we're pretty blessed here with a lot of restaurants, but you know, it's a tough place to live too. It's a huge city, and there's garbage everywhere, and there's these food vendor carts on the corner that are burning like meat. It just smells like burning flesh all over, and garbage, and there's a lot of poverty and wealth disparity, and you know, and the vegan restaurant scene is wonderful, and there's so many vegans here, and everywhere you walk you see the word vegan in different restaurants, because everyone knows that it's like a hot market, you know. It's become, you know, but the interesting thing is, like, when I first went vegan, probably after I was vegan for maybe a year, I came here with my girlfriend Megan at the time, the co-host of Vegan Radio, and there was probably 10 restaurants, 10 oh, wow. vegetarian restaurants, but we were just so happy with 10, you know, we were like going around trying all of them and overstuffing ourselves, and there was one called the Veg City Diner, I think, and it had it was a vegetarian diner. I don't know if it was all vegan, but they had a twirling glass display case that was like 6 feet tall and just filled everything, and it was vegan, and it was all these desserts. And at that time, you know, vegan desserts weren't just go anywhere and get them. Now it's like they're everywhere. But back then, it was so amazing.
And what are your favorite restaurants now?
You know, I'm kind of, I work right next to, near the new Peace Food Cafe in Union Square, and I spend a lot of time there, and at the Jiva Mukti Cafe, where Jiva Mukti Yoga, we have a really nice vegan cafe. Those two places I eat the most. I like this place called Caravan of Dreams,
which is good.
Yeah, it's like half raw, half cooked, and got a cool atmosphere. Angelica's Kitchen is all right. Candle 79, of course. I don't ever go there with my own money, but I sometimes end up at events there. I've photographed two wedding receptions there, so I get their food for free, and that's always nice.
I really like Soy and Sake. That place
is cool.
Yeah, that's one of my faves.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And what's happening with the ice cream there now? Because Sojo and Lula's, did they both close, or?
Lula's was closed for a while, and then they reopened. As far as I know, they're still open.
That's good.
The couple who owned it, I think, separated or divorced, and so they're trying to work out the fallout of that.
Seems to be a lot of fallout.
I think there's a new DF Mavens, this company that makes ice cream, I think is opening a whole new place. I'm not sure if it's open yet.
Oh, cool.
I haven't heard of it being open, so it might not be, but it's on the verge of opening.
Good.
Yes, so you can have to come visit everyone in Australia.
See all the great food. And then I think there's something like over 200 vegetarian places in New York. I'm sure some fact like that.
That sounds likely. I haven't been to them all, I don't think.
Get started.
Oh, the V-Spot. I should mention the V-Spot in Brooklyn is one of my places. And there's this diner called Champs. Have you been to Champs?
I'm not sure. It sounds familiar, though. Maybe.
It's a vegan diner, all comfort food. And
yeah. Not my sort of food, actually, that sort of food.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I've been off of gluten and coffee, and this last month I've been mostly sugar-free, so I'm kind of becoming a breatharian, and I don't go to Champ. I used to go there every Sunday for brunch just because I like, but now I'm not eating pancakes. It's crazy.
I love pancakes.
I know, so do I.
I love the Snice cupcakes. They're probably my favorite in the world.
Snice?
Yeah.
Oh, one of the Snices is closing. Is that right? Snice. Yep.
Which one?
The one in West Village.
Oh, no.
Is that the one you went to? I think the only one left is going to be the one in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was probably like Park Slopes or somewhere. Is there one there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the one.
Yeah,
Because I normally
that's
stay in
cool.
Brooklyn with my friend Ethan when I'm in New York.
Ethan.
Ethan?
Shout out to Ethan.
Hi, Ethan.
I like having the video screen. This is cool.
On that note, I think we'll wind it up, Derek.
Now I gotta get rid
Thank
of
you
you.
very much for taking the time today to speak to us.
Would you like to hear my singing ball?
Sure. I think you can take us out with that. If you want to see what Derek's up to, check out derekgoodwin.com and his podcast veganradio.com. And are you going to take us out with the bowl, the singing bowl?
The singing ball. Did you
Yep.
hear it?
Yes.
I just got this as a gift and I figured out how to make it do this thing, which is pretty cool. I'm not normally the type of person to do this kind of new agey thing, you know? Even though I'm a yogi, you might think I am, but.
Well, it sounds
Wah-wah.
lovely. Thank you very much,
Thank you.
Derek.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you next time.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Go
Speak to you
vegan.
next time on the VivaLaVegan.net podcast. Thank you.
Awesome.